All right, we're ready to get started again. So I'll go ahead and find your seats.
Check.
And I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll get started. All right, let's pray. Father, thanks so much for our opportunity to be together as church family. And we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Brian. And I thank you for his friendship through the years and the ways that you've used him in my life and also in his ministry. So we pray blessing and anointing upon him today. Pray that you bless him and his family. And we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be together. May this time be fully devoted to you, Jesus. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before I just want to introduce Pastor Brian's wife. She's here as well. So that's Audrey back there. So she's their three boys are also here in the youth service and then in our kids ministry, and then their spiritually adopted daughter Brooke is also here, so we welcome her as well. Glad you're here. So I'm glad Pastor Brian's covering for me today, because I thought I wasn't even going to be here because my baby's on the way at any moment. So I'm glad that Pastor Brian's here. Pastor Brian's a good friend of mine from back in seminary days, so let's welcome Pastor Brian.
Thank you. Awesome. Can you 1, 2, 1, 2. It's good. You guys can hear me? Oh, awesome. Wow, it's exciting to be here. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just want to say, where's the worship leader? David, man. I think as you're worshiping. Was it Daniel? I called you David for a reason, though. Do you know why? Yes. There's a spirit of David all over you. Amen? Because even though your name is Daniel, I really believe as you were leading worship, there's a spirit of David all over you. So I want you to just kind of breathe that in. Well, I want to talk about the glory of God, okay? So I just need to share that. But it's exciting. There's a presence. There's a freedom here. And I'm excited to be here, okay? Because God's doing something. And I think as I was looking into the city of Walnut and the city around this valley, around this place, it said there's, you guys, what is it, 64% Asian or something like that, right? And it's crazy, but I believe this church is very strategically placed for the purposes of God. Amen? Can you say amen? And I really, really believe that. And I don't know what God's going to do. And I know the message for me right now is it's going to be the glory of God. And the thing is, I want you to be open. I hope you came not to a worship service, but I hope you came to encounter God today, amen? I hope you came or you come every week to encounter the presence and the glory of God, amen? That's my hope. That's not just a service. That, hey, I may preach 5 minutes, and I'm okay with that. If God's glory shows up, amen to that, okay? Because I think we need to change our understanding of what worship is. Because, man, if God just comes in his manifest glory, we just need to bow before him. I guarantee you, you won't be able to stand. Okay? So I want to give you a picture. Okay? I want to give you a picture. If there was any message that I would preach on, it would be this. If it would be like any message, this would be my top message in the sense of understanding the glory and the presence. Because I believe this is what God desires for you and for me and for his church. Okay? For every church to see this place filled with his presence and his glory. Okay? I want you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7, 1. See if this works. All right, it's working. This is cool. I never usually use this stuff, so I feel like a rock star up here. I don't know. It's weird. Okay. But 2 Chronicles 7. Now, I want to read this passage, and I want to dig into it a little bit. But it says this. In verse 1, it says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I'm like, yes, this is it. This is the church and what it should be like. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. And if you understand, the church is like the temple. And if you understand, you and I are like that temple of God. Okay? the glory of the Lord filled this temple. And it says this, verse 2, the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good, His love endures forever. And you say? Amen. Okay? I'm not going to read the whole thing. But if you get a chance, I want you to read the first seven chapters of 2 Chronicles, and you're going to get a good picture of what's going on. But I want to give you a little bit of the context and the background of this temple. What you have to understand back then was when they first built the tabernacle. Okay, how many guys know when it was first built? Anyone? Give me an idea. When was the tabernacle first built? When did God ask the Israelites? What time? It was the time of Moses. Okay? Moses. Now think about this. God delivered the Israelites, and then God began to give them instructions about this tabernacle, this mobile tabernacle. And so God gave them very, very specific instructions of how to build it, what size it was supposed to be. And if you don't understand the tabernacle, this tabernacle was mobile, okay? And you had what was called the outer court, and you had what was called the inner court, okay? And I'm going to show you a few pictures, can kind of get an idea of what it's supposed to look like. And if you look right here, is there a laser? Is there a laser thing here? No, there's not. Okay, here we go. I can't find it. Okay, but if you look here, you have the burnt offering, what's called the brazen altar. And on this place, there was animal sacrifices the priest or the high priest would offer before they would enter into what's called the Holy of Holies. I'm going to get to that. And then after that, you see this burnt offering, and then you see what's called the brazen laver, where the priest would begin to wash their hands, and all this would take place. Now, if you go a little bit further, so you had what was called the outer court, and you also had what was called the inner courtyard. And within this inner courtyard, it was divided into two places. There was what's called the holy place, and in that holy place, you had what was called the bread, the showbread. You had the seven lampstands, okay? And then you had the incense altar. And all these things kind of represent something. You know, the lampstand representing the light of God and just eternity. They kept these things burning day and night. The lampstand was continuing to burn day and night. And you had all this as they continued to enter. Now, in that inner court, you had what was called the most holy place. And guess what was in that most holy place? The Ark of the Covenant. Okay, very, very symbolic. What did the Ark of the Covenant symbolize? It symbolized what? The presence and the glory of God. Okay? So they had this temple built. And what you understand, you got to understand that each one of these things, it symbolized something. The offering about a sacrifice and cleansing through what eventually we would see in the life of Christ. As you continue to move inward and inward, that inmost place, that most holy of holy places, where the Ark of the Covenant, and within that Ark of the Covenant, what was contained in that Ark of the Covenant? Anyone? Give me some. Any ideas? What was that? One of them was? The manna, the jar of manna. Ten Commandments. What else? The Aaron's staff. I believe those things represented a few things. One, the two stone tablets, it represented God's covenant, His promise to us, and to you and to me. His covenant, you guys understand, covenant means, it means for life. It doesn't mean, see, once God makes a covenant with you, he's saying, I am for life with you, I'm stuck with you. No matter what you may do, I will always be here for you, even if you run away. That's what covenant means. It means for life. It was for life. And God was saying to the Israelites, I am here. I am your God from the end, beginning until the end. That's the promise. That's the covenant of God. And in the pot of manna, that represented what? God's care and His provision. that throughout these many years in the desert, that God would provide the Israelites with manna and quail. Okay? Manna and quail every day, man. That's rough. Okay? Right? It's like when I visited Korea, okay? It's like, because I grew up here in America. But when I went to Korea, we had breakfast, we had rice, and some other food. And then for lunch, we had rice and some other food. And then for dinner, we had rice and then some meat or something special. So it was like that. I wasn't used to that. I was used to American culture. Okay, but God provided. God provided for the Israelites. The other thing you see Aaron's rod that budded. This rod represented God's choice or God's person that God chose. And you get, this is cool. If you really study, you have the Israelites. Out of the Israelites, God, out of his grace, he chose the Israelites. And out of these Israelites, he chose the Levites. And out of those Levites, God chose who? Aaron. Okay? Out of that. And it's amazing how God sets that remnant apart every time. It begins to take them and set them apart and begin to use them. See, we got to understand, if we understand the Ark of the Covenant, where it symbolized the glory and the presence of God. And you're going to see this ark kind of travel a few places. One of the few places that this ark showed up was at Gilgal when the Israelites crossed the Jordan with Joshua. And then you begin to see how Joshua took this Ark of the Covenant. What did he do? Right? What did he do? He took this Ark of the Covenant. He had these priests, and basically they were going to conquer the land of Jericho. You guys remember that, right? And he told Joshua, hey, have these priests carry this ark, march around the city, okay? And how many times did they do this? Seven times. And on the seventh time, they were to what? They blew the trumpets. There's trumpets blowing, right? And they began to what? They began to shout out a cry to the Lord. And as they shout out a cry to the Lord, what happened? The walls of Jericho came down, okay? This is very significant because what you got to understand about Jericho, Jericho was the strongest city. Do you guys understand that? It was the strongest city out of all the cities to take over. God said, hey, we're not going to take the small one. No, we're going to start with the biggest and the strongest city. That shows you who God is. Are you with me? It shows you, hey, I'm not here to mess with God. God said, hey, I will show you that I will take down the biggest and the strongest stronghold in your life and in my life. Are you getting this? And as they marched around the city with the Ark of the Covenant, and they let out a shout, and the walls came crumbling down. When I was in going to college here, when I read that passage, because I wanted revival on my campus at Pomona. I wanted revival. And so what I did is I took my car and I drove around my campus seven times. I drove around that campus. And some people, they looked at me. They're like, didn't we just see that guy driving around this campus? But seven times I was praying over that city, driving around that campus. And people, I'm sure, they were staring. Like, what's wrong with this guy? Right? But it was right after that that God began to move in incredibly powerful ways. Just recently, I was struggling because I was like, Lord, I want more. I want to see more. And so I tried this. So I drove around the valley in Northridge. I drove all the way around the 118. Because if you know the 118, there was a 23. Then from the 23, I went all the way around the 101. And then I went to the 405. And then I went back to the 118 and I went home. But all throughout that time, I was praying and interceding for the valley. I got six more times than I need to do it. I want to see revival. Are you with me? Okay? And it's amazing. When I came home and God gave me a word that night, the word that he gave me was Isaiah 6:8. And if you understand that passage states this. It says, Isaiah is coming before God and say, here am I, send me. Send me. He's beginning to open those doors. Oh, there's my son. He has a way of sneaking out. Nathan. I'm sorry, my third son, he doesn't stay still. He has a tendency to go. Okay, we had, when he was younger, we had gates. He would climb out of those gates because we tried to protect him from the, you know, outlets and things like that. It's just how he is. That's how God made him to be, to go and to go and to go. And he has a tendency to leave service. So just kind of, all right, he's going to do that. All right, but we understand. Okay, so this ark would travel to different places. And there was a time that this ark was captured by the Philistines. And if you understand, when the Philistines captured it, it was a bad move on their part. Because all of a sudden, this ark was captured. They thought, oh, it was a big deal. All of a sudden, God kind of works on behalf, and all the Philistines, all these people are getting sick and dying. They're like, we need to get rid of this thing. This is too much, right? And as this ark would eventually travel to various places. Some of the places it would go to would be in Shiloh during the period of Judges. This ark of the covenant would be at Ebenezer, okay? It would eventually go to Beth Shemesh. It would go to Kiriath Jearim for 70 years. And then finally, and we're going to get to this point. Finally, David eventually becomes king of all of Israel and Judah, okay? You guys with me? So far, so good. So we have this ark was built, okay, by Moses, and eventually it begins to travel, representing the symbolic presence of God. And wherever this ark went, the Israelites would go with it in a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire. God's presence moving the Israelites forward. And then we get to David, and David says, hey, wait a minute, where's this ark? We need God. He has a heart to build a temple, a grander temple for this, so that it would contain this ark. But what does God say? No, wait, I don't want you to build it. I want your son Solomon to build this temple. Okay, you guys with me so far? So let's kind of look. I want to look at a little bit of what's going on. We kind of see the idea, the flow of worship, and where everything is, this most holy of holies. Okay, so I want you to picture that. But then we come to what? Then we come to Solomon. Okay? And you got to remember, Solomon is king. Here's Solomon who's king, and then he begins to build. Now you got to understand, there was a lot of people who built this thing. And if you read carefully, it says like sometimes, I think it was like 80,000 or more people building this or doing this, and you had another 80,000 doing this. And then you had another 24,000 doing this and putting and building this temple together. Solomon had the finest materials, gold, okay, finest cloth, whatever he needed to build this magnificent temple. You guys with me so far? So that it would contain, so that what? David and Solomon could bring that Ark of the Covenant so that it would reside in that temple. Does God need this temple? Do you think God needs it? No, he doesn't. Okay, but Solomon said, hey, we want to do something to honor God. And as they were doing this, and this is very important, and I believe it's going to speak to us today, a couple of things about the glory and the presence of God. One of those things, I believe, is this. Kind of see everything right there. The Ark of the Covenant. One, I believe God's glory, oops, typo, sorry. God's glory indwells us, leads us, and empowers us. God's glory indwells us, leads us, and empowers us. In Exodus 40, 34 through 38, it says this, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would not set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. Okay? even Jesus, if you study the life of Jesus, he was constantly working with the Spirit of God. If you read in Luke, it talks about how Jesus was one, he was filled with the Spirit. Two, he was led into the desert. And after that period of temptation, he came out of the desert empowered by the Spirit. Are you guys getting this? And so he modeled for us, for you and for me, that we are called to be filled with his Spirit, overflowing abundantly. Okay? That we are called to be what? Empowered by his Spirit. I need his empowerment to carry out the things that he's called me to do. Okay? He has given me gifts and talents to carry out his work. Rain down the glory of God. Very important. Secondly is this. God's glory sanctifies us. It sets us apart. Simply this. In Exodus 29, it says, "There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. So I will consecrate the tent of meeting, and the altar will consecrate Aaron and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." The word is to consecrate. It means to what? To separate, to set apart, or to dedicate. See, when his presence comes, when his presence indwells you, something's going to happen that you're not going to be the same. Okay? See, when I had that encounter 2 weeks ago, God renewed my heart. He's renewing my heart. I have a renewed passion. You guys understand me? He's renewing my heart. His presence just filled me, and I just began to weep for a good hour or 2 hours. I had to go downstairs to my office, and I was just weeping in the presence of God. God was doing something in my heart. He was renewing me. He's reminding me. He's saying, hey, there are some things that you need to let go so that I can begin to do a greater work through you. Okay, there's a renewed, like I said, a renewed hunger. God's doing something in my heart because there's something he wants to do through me. There's something that God is doing in you guys saying, hey, I want to use you in greater ways. In order for that to take place, you need to begin to let go of some of the old things. Are you guys with me? Okay. Go to 3. It says this. God's glory leads to intimacy. Hearing the voice of God. And I believe God speaks in a variety of ways. I want to read verse 17. It says, "To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up the mountain, and he stayed in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Man, that's intimacy. That is intimacy. Here's a guy who spent time with the Lord. I believe God speaks to us in that place. He speaks to us through visions, through dreams, through words of knowledge, through promptings, all kinds of things. He desires to speak to you and to me every day. I believe that he is speaking. We're not always listening because we're too in tune with our phones. Way too much, right? We just got Brandon. He's had his phone for probably a year now, right? He's already in that habit of, hey, get off your phone, and he's still on his phone and things like that. And we have a tendency, we're so focused on that we lose sight of, hey, God wants to use you right here and right now. I remember a time I came out of 24-hour fitness. I was a very busy day. I wanted to work out, and I was ready to go home. And as I was ready to go home, God put something on my heart and say, and there was this kid sitting on the curb, and I was like, oh, I was ready to leave. And God's like, no, you need to speak to that person. But Lord, I'm really busy. He's going to think I'm crazy or something else. Like, let me just go home. So God's like, you need to speak to that boy right now. I was like, oh, okay. So I turn around and I go, hey, I know this is kind of weird, but do you go to church or anything like that? He's like, kind of. And as I began to talk to him a little bit more, he said, you know, I'm kind of struggling. You know, and I said, well, what are you struggling with? Well, I asked God to make himself real to me. And I was like, wow, you know what? I felt like God just spoke to me today and told me to just really encourage you and remind you that he is real through me. Amen? And you know what? He began to weep. He began to weep. I went to a retreat, and as I was praying for kids, there was this young man right in front of me, and the Holy Spirit came and said, hey, you need to give this boy a hug. I'm like, Lord, he's going to think I'm weird. I don't really know this boy, Lord. Would you want me to give him a hug? I was like, give him a hug. I was like, okay. Give him a All right, here we go. Give him a hug. I give him a hug. And all of a sudden, he begins to weep. He began to just cry on my shoulder. And I talked to him, and he said, you know, my dad never gave me a hug. Never said I love you. And just through that one action, just listening to the Spirit of God, I just did that, and he just began to weep, and God became more real to him that day. See, I believe that God is speaking to you and to me every day, yet we are too busy sometimes. Yeah? I know how it is. I got 3 boys. Okay? Trust me, those boys, man, they drive me, I love them, but they drive me nuts. There he is again. He's going. I'm not kidding. He's like walking this way and that way. Okay. But he speaks in that place of intimacy. Fourthly is this. I'm going to cover a lot. Here we go. God's glory manifests his goodness. Amen. Can you say amen? God's glory manifests his goodness. Now think about this. Out of all the things, now I want to read this passage. This is a good passage. It says this. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Ooh, okay, be careful, okay? When you're asking God to show you his glory, no, that means you're going to, it's dangerous too. You know that, right? It's pretty dangerous to ask God for his glory because that means something has to change in you, and then you got to respond to that. That means God wants to do work in you. Here we go, ready? And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. So as Moses asked to see God's glory, God's goodness passes by. His goodness passes by. He is a good God. No matter what's going on in the world today, no matter what the evils, he is still a good God. I had a kid, because I teach Bible, and she's from Vietnam, and she's not a Christian. And we were talking about the story of Jacob. How many of you guys understand the story of Jacob? If you truly understand the story of Jacob, he was not a good person. Do you understand me? He cheated his brother. He cheated his family. He cheated his uncle. All right? He had 4 women in his... Okay, 4. Right? He was not a good person. And we talked about it, and I talked about how God came and encountered Jacob, and how God's grace was all over Jacob. She's like, I don't get it. But Jacob was so bad. And I said, I know. That's how good God is. That he can take someone who has struggled or messed up or done some of the worst things in their life. You look at the people in the Bible. Are you kidding me? Look at all those guys. Look at Moses. A murderer. And yet God's grace goes out to him and pulls him in. That's the goodness of God. See, it's in his glory that we begin to see. It's in his presence that we begin to understand the goodness of God and how good he is, how awesome he is. We read it all throughout in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. One of the biggest, I think, pains or struggles that I had was when I lost my friend. I think it was that same year. I had lost a friend from cancer, and I think at the end of that year, I had lost an older brother from a train accident. Okay, there was, like I said, there was two trains. There was one train that didn't move, so he was in the front. His car was in the front, and there was a car in the back that there was a train in the back that he didn't see. People behind him were honking because they didn't see any trains moving. You guys with me? So you had the front train and you had the back train. And he was right here. His car was right there. He was looking. There's no train coming. The gate wasn't down. And all of a sudden, as he began to go across the tracks, a train from behind came from nowhere and just, boom, hit his car. And he died instantly. He was about to get married. All these things were taking place. And when I got that call, I just cried out. I was like, Lord, I don't get it. Lord, why? Why? One of the older brothers, when he went to the place, one of the first, he was a believer too, but thank God he was a believer. But he found this little verse. And this verse on it said, "Be still and know that I am God." See, through that event, we don't realize, through that event, what I heard was his parents came to know Christ. Are you with me? That is more important. You guys understand me? My friend is in heaven. But at that moment and at that time, I questioned God, saying, Lord, I don't understand. And there are certain mysteries in this life. There are certain things in this life I don't fully grasp. But I know this much, and this is the promise of God, that God can take all the good and all the bad and use it for his glory. Can we say amen? That's who he is. That's how great he is. He can take all my failures, and I have failed much, trust me. I could give you a long list of my failures, that he can take all my failures and somehow use it for his good. Seriously. That's the goodness. That's the greatness of God. Here we go, moving on. Do I have a time limit? Almost time. Okay, I'm going to move it along real quick. Are we at there? 5. Here we go. It says this. God's glory is to be on display. God's looking for an offering to consume. In Leviticus 9, 23 through 24, Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. Oh, I love that. But you know what he's looking for? Guess what? He's looking for an offering. That's it. He's not looking for the smartest. He's not looking for the one who has the most degrees or the most money. He is looking for a simple offering who will say, "Yes, Lord, use me, consume me, that you will be put on display." God wants to display his glory through you and through me and through this church. Can you say amen? But he's saying, will you be that offering? Will you be that one? Because you got to understand. You got to understand, there's a price. There's also a price for that glory. You understand me? There's a price for that. He's got to build the character and the humility. He's got to begin to do things. See, when you pray, say, I remember I pray, Lord, I want to be a leader. I want to be a great leader. Oh, man. Things didn't get easier. Things got just one problem after problem after problem. I was like, Lord, I want to be a great. Well, I gotta put some things on you so you can be ready to take on what is ahead. See, let me share. If we are to carry that glory, we need to have the character to be able to continue to carry that glory. Are you guys with me? That's why he begins to break us and sometimes prepare us for what is ahead. Or else that blessing could kill us. You guys getting this? Because it could be too much, or we're not ready for it. It's like trying to go into a gym, right? Because I work out, and and you want to lift 300, I want to lift 300 pounds. If I try to lift that 300 pounds, it's going to kill me. Do you understand me? So what do I have to do? I need to begin to build. God begins to build those things little by little in my life so that by the time I'm over here, that I'm able to carry this weight well. Are you guys getting this? See, he's looking for an offering. Lord, because he wants to display his glory through you. He wants to display his glory. Put you on display. See, the gifts that I have, the talents, it's because of him. The brain that I have is because of him. All right? We see that. I don't know if you're I'm a Lakers fan, but I know some of you guys like Stephen Curry? Basketball, Golden State, right? So here's a guy, okay? He just knows how to shoot. I mean, just, it's going in. From 40 feet, it goes in. And here's a guy, he understands that he is on display, not for himself, but for the glory of God. He knows that God gave him the talents and the opportunities to carry out and honor him. Sixthly is this. Let's go there. Where did I lose it? There we go. I want to show you this video. It's going to be about 5-6 minutes. Is that okay? Well, I believe you're going to enjoy it. It says this. God's glory is revealed in all creation. Isaiah 6:3. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." It's full of his glory. Can we play it? Guess who Brian Dirksen is? He's from Vineyard. The old Vineyard. Calls in honoring God. There's a Christian worshiper.
I have felt the wind blow, whispering your name. I have seen your tears fall when I watch the rain. I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea. Gazing at a bird in flight, soaring through the air, lying down beneath the stars, I feel your presence there.
I love to stand at ocean shore and feel the thank you.
watering the earth, fragrance of a rose in bloom, a newborn's cry at birth. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea?
Say amen. Is it working? No? All right. I want to give you a few things. I'm not going to talk about these too much. You are carriers of God's glory. Amen? You are carriers of God's glory. See, that means this. You enter a room. See, when you are carrying His glory and His presence well, you enter a room, the atmosphere changes. The whole room changes. Attitudes change. People are asking why, what is it about you? And you say, yeah, it's the glory and the presence of God in my life. See, that's what it's about. See, when my wife worships, she's an anointed worshiper. See, when she worships, the whole room changes. You got to understand that. That's anointing. She has a friend. We prayed for her last night. And the glory of God, she's going through a lot of stuff. She has two kids, single mom, just going through a lot of stuff. And she was just weeping. And as we are praying over you, we're just reminding you, hey, Heidi, you are called to bring heaven on earth. You are called to tear down strongholds. You are called to do great things. She's just weeping. Just weeping in the presence of God. Let me tell you, the glory of God, the tangible presence of God, to the point. See, if you study, and I've been studying revival, man, I love revival. You got to understand me. That's my heart. You know, God is opening the doors for me to go to school again. He's opening to study at Fuller. I don't know how I'm going to do it because I don't have them, you know, money-wise, we're tight. But He's opened that door to study a doctor of ministry at Fuller again. And I think one of my passions is revival. You give me a revival book, I'll read that thing in about 2 days. Zip, 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 zip. I'll zip through that. And when you study revival, in every one of these people, there was what's called a tangible presence or the glory of God that just came, and people could not stand. They had to bow. They had to fall face down in the presence and the glory and the wonder of God. Are you guys with me? And see, what you got to understand is this. It's for us. It's for the church. It's for you and for me. See, what you got to understand, see, when you fast forward to what Jesus did on that cross, when he died in that cross, what took place? The veils were what? The veils were torn, and now you and I could enter through Christ into that most holy place and encounter his presence and encounter his glory. I believe that's God's vision for the church. If we would learn to host his presence, say, Lord, we want your glory. And where his glory is, I'm telling you, man, there are healings. There are breakthroughs. There is joy, release. You should see my friend. He was drunk in the Spirit of God. He was wobbly in the presence of God. That is the God you and I serve. And that's my hope for you guys as a church and for you guys as a people. Let me show you. Where's my last things? Remember, that's the vision I have for you guys last time, that you guys are a match. Okay? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. I guess if my wife wants to pray, if she would come up. Can my wife come? Yay. Pray. She's going to pray. We're going to pray for people. So, Father, we just want to come, and I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you guys. Please come up. Get prayer from her. So, Father, we want to pray. We ask for your glory. It's all about you, Lord. Father, I pray, take them to a new level. Take this church to a new level. New levels, oh God. I declare new levels for this church, for this ministry. New levels of your anointing, new levels of your presence and your glory. That, Lord, that through the worship, that there will be just healing and headaches will just go away because of your presence. That's your glory. That's who you are. That through the worship and through the message, there are things that are falling off, like depression and darkness, that they are just falling off, that there's a joy released, an unspeakable joy being released in this place, in this ministry. Lord, as they lift you up, that the world will see, they will say, yes, God is there. God is presence. So, Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise.
There are a few of us in this room. I felt the word of the Lord while we were worshiping. And I want you at this moment just to stand if it's you. But I feel like there's many of you in this room that have been experiencing the Lord in a powerful way for years now. And the seasons come and go, but what remains is always this hunger for the Lord. And I could see it. There were like sparks of fire all over the room. But the issue is that fight over complacency, that fight over just falling into like a mediocre, that fight over falling into routine and program. I want to ask that if that's you, if you could stand, because I feel like the Lord has a word for you today. Because your roots go very deep in this church. I can see it.
Wow.
I could see remnants of when the Lord touched you 10, 15 years ago. I can see remnants of when the Lord put visions and desires on your heart so many years ago. I can see remnants of when the fire passed over you, like Pastor Brian was talking about. And if that's you, I'm not saying you don't have to be fighting with complacency, but the Lord has a word for you today. So if you could stand or just receive it right where you are. And so this is what God is saying. God is saying, I want to take you into a season now, my friend, where not only has Jesus become your lover, your friend, your savior, not only has God broken through and shown you, I am your father, but now who is the Holy Spirit to you? I feel like God is asking you right now. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? Because I want to say to you, he's not our means to an end. He's not a servant to us. He is not a servant to Jesus. He is 100% God, and he wants to be your friend. He wants to play a role in your life that is like an old friend, that when he passes by, you say, hey, old friend, and that it's not some like kind of spark to, you know, excite you or to overwhelm you or to show you that God is real, but he wants to be a friend, amen? So if you could put your hand out, if this is your desire, and just say, Lord, I want to know you in a way that goes so deep that I'm not waiting for the awe of your spirit, but I am just wanting it to pass by daily as an old friend, to be renewed daily like a friend. I want to know you deeper like a friend. I want to know you, Holy Spirit, the person that you are. I want to know you as well so that I can be whole in my knowledge of God. So I could be whole in my knowledge of you. And I just feel like, just let him come. The goodness will just wrap around you. The Spirit comes like a wave of goodness, like a whisper of goodness. And he's saying, all those times that you felt me so real, shaking you down to the bones, that was the Holy Spirit. But now as you mature, I want to show you the Holy Spirit in a way that becomes like an old friend that tells you stories and brings you revelation about my word, an old friend that can give you the means to know what to pray for, an old friend that will show you who God is daily, an old friend that is like a pleasant presence in your life, and not one that comes with a fire and goes, but one that just settles on your life like an old friend, amen? Like an old friend.
I just feel like we need to just take some time to pray for each other. As Pastor Brian was speaking, and he talked about the thousands and thousands of people that worked on the temple, I was reminded that in Exodus, it said that the Spirit of God filled them. And that's the way that they began to serve God, build his kingdom. So, for about the next couple of minutes, can we just get into groups and just pray for each other? Just quickly ask them, you know, what are ways that you are serving? And then just pray for the Holy Spirit to fill each other. Okay, so let's do that. Let's just take a couple of minutes as the worship team plays. So please just find one or two or three people, not too big of the groups, and just lay hands on each other's shoulders. Quick prayer request, okay? Just say, what are ways that God has called you to serve? And then just pray for each other. VOHers, please make sure you find the people that are new and just pray for one another, okay? So let's take a couple of minutes and let's do that.